forgiveness. When a person is dying, the family members gather round and listen intently to their last dying words. What they have to say is important, perhaps the most important thing they ever said in their lives. This is their last message to their loved ones and to the world in general before leaving this life forever. When Jesus was dying, almost with his dying breath, he gave us his parting message to the world. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." If we remember nothing else of what he said, we should remember how important forgiveness was to Jesus. Forgiveness is essential for our salvation. In fact, we can't get into heaven if we are still harbouring unforgiveness against anyone. The reality is that God has created us for heaven, but we can't survive in that rarefied atmosphere if we are still dragging around resentments against those who have hurt us. Unforgiveness is a barrier that stops us moving forward into a relationship with God. It's like a ball and chain we carry around with us throughout our lives, and it stops us from fully receiving God's love and sharing that love with others. Often we can detect the presence of unforgiveness in ourselves by what triggers us. Perhaps we are very sensitive to perceived injustice. Perhaps we tend to overreact if we feel we are being ignored. Maybe because of past experiences, we tend to avoid close relationships with other people. Often these triggers come about as a result of an old wound from the past being pressed. Sometimes it can be difficult to forgive someone, especially if they have hurt us deeply and left wounds and scars on us that persist throughout our lives. Nevertheless, if we want to be free, we have to find a way of forgiving them from the heart. The John Paul II Healing Centre has developed a method of achieving that level of forgiveness, and we have used this process many times in the course of our prayer sessions as we pray with people for healing. We have found the method most effective when it's done in the presence of someone else who can pray with you, rather than simply on your own. It's also most effective if the prayers that we use are said aloud. The purpose of forgiveness is not so much reconciliation with the person who has hurt you, as to free you from the burden of resentment and to remove the barrier that exists between you and God. So what is the process by which someone can find freedom through forgiving those who have hurt them? It starts with identifying the person you need to forgive. It could be a family member, a friend, a co-worker, or someone you might consider an enemy. Then it's a case of making an account of the debt. What I mean by that is describing exactly how you have been hurt. What has that person done to you that has wounded you? And how has that affected your life going forward? It can be a little bit difficult to face the pain of past hurts, but it's worth doing it if you want to be freed from the clutches of old resentments. It's important to be honest about how we have been hurt, even if by now we have buried the pain. A question to ask yourself then is, what have I come to believe about myself on the basis of those past hurts? What identity lies have I taken on? How have I begun to define myself by my pain? Maybe I feel that I am somehow shameful or worthless. Maybe I feel that I'm ugly or stupid, or that I'm unlovable. Maybe I feel that no one understands me or cares for me, and that I have no hope for the future. Our enemy, the devil, who is the father of lies, will feed us these untruths in order to make us believe that we are somehow less than beloved sons and daughters of God. But these are all identity lies that should be renounced. The next thing to examine is what judgments I have made of the person who has hurt me. What kind of person do I believe them to be on the basis of their behaviour? The fact is, only God can judge a person's culpability. So when we make judgments of other people, we're taking on a God-sized weight. And in the last analysis, judging other people is sin. Those judgments must be renounced because they are one of the main things that stop us from experiencing God's love. And then we come to the part of the process where we ask God to forgive the person for the ways in which they have hurt us. That can be done in the form of a spontaneous prayer. And next, we forgive the person ourselves. This is the point at which we need to take a deep breath and extend forgiveness to the person, despite the hurt and the legacy their actions may have left us. Sometimes it might take a while before we can go through with this part of the process, but it's worth it in the end because of the freedom we will experience. The final part of the forgiveness process is where we say a prayer for the person, asking God to bless them in the opposite way to how they hurt us. So, for example, if they made you feel worthless or unimportant, you might ask the Lord that they might come to a full knowledge that they are a beloved son or daughter of God the Father. In addition to going through this process, we can also renounce any inner vows that we have made in response to the hurt we have received. An inner vow is a promise we make to ourselves out of self-protection so that we won't be hurt again. It might sound something like, I must never, or I must make sure that I always. For example, if we have been abused in some way, we might have an inner vow that I must make sure I never become vulnerable again. Or if we have been betrayed, we might have an inner vow that we will never fully trust another person again. The trouble with inner vows is that they don't work. What they do is put pressure on us to act in certain unhealthy ways that limit our ability to love other people. Often they can, in fact, bring about the very thing we have vowed against. Once again, we should identify any of these inner vows that we have made to ourselves and renounce them. And the last thing that remains to do is to break any soul ties that we have with the person who has wronged us. A soul tie is like an invisible bond that we have with another person. There are good soul ties like those in a healthy relationship between a husband and wife, or between a parent and a son or daughter. But there can also be bad soul ties, especially if we have begun to identify ourselves or define ourselves on the basis of the wounds that we have received in the past. But those unhealthy soul ties can also be renounced and broken. There may be many people who have hurt us and for whom we still bear an element of resentment. This process of forgiveness frees us from continuing to carry around those same wounds and liberates us from the burden of ill feeling that we have towards other people. Sometimes the person we need to forgive is God himself. Sometimes we need to forgive ourselves for sins and faults and mistakes of the past or the present. Unforgiveness can present a huge obstacle to us and our ability to move forward into the freedom that we should be experiencing because of our baptism. Let's resolve with the help of the Holy Spirit to set aside the resentment for past hurts and instead forgive everyone who has wounded us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are all-loving and all-forgiving. Give us the grace to identify areas in which we hold resentments against those who have hurt us. Give us the strength of will to forgive them and so enter into a new sense of freedom in our relationship with you and with those you have given us to love. Amen.